Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy, happy Friday, and we are in Las Vegas. We are at the Circa Resort. This is my first time here. I'm absolutely loving it. Shout out to the folks at Circa. You can come here, and we're going to tell you this throughout the show. Play some NFL bets, how you feel about the Texans, how much I hate Carson Wentz. You can bet on the Astros and all of that here. Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes is back in the studio, and we got Andrew Carlson. Whoa, that's his name, with us here in Vegas.
I'm so excited to be here.
Me too.
Okay, so this is my favorite place in the United States of America.
Vegas?
Number one, yes. Number two, I have been to this resort now four times. The last four times I've been here, which have all been within like a calendar year, I have come here and I've made a point of coming here. It's fantastic. So this year the Texans are playing the Raiders in Vegas.
Can't wait.
We all know that the Raiders are going to absolutely murder the Texans, but you can have a good time leading up to the game. Maybe you go to the game. Maybe you watch the game from the pool that they have here. So I'm pumped, even though Andrew Carlson, who I'm rooming with, played a Katy Perry song to wake me up.
What?
Waking up in Vegas.
And now you're singing.
It's the song that you wake up in Vegas with, but I'm really jeeped, as you can tell. And I can't believe I am because you, Vanessa, tried to keep us all out late last night. We got into our hotel at, what, 1 a.m.? And
I just wanted to have fun.
I got in my PJs. I'm ready to go to bed.
Oh, stop.
I put on my, my eye mascara to make sure that there's no bags under the eyes today. Look, I'm getting in my 30s. You know, you got to watch the way you look, especially I'm in Vegas. And you know what I'm going to do after the show. And then here I am looking at my text. Hey, do you guys want shots?
All right.
So we all go downstairs. We had a shot. And I'm like, okay, one shot. That's fine. And next thing I know, Vanessa just passes me another shot.
You know what? I just want...
You're bad influence.
I just want everybody to have fun. you'll be shocked to know Paul and I are not hungover, which means we're doing something right.
It's the oxygen in the casino.
But this is my first time at this casino and this resort. And I am super impressed. I've actually never stayed in Old Vegas before.
It's awesome.
And I'm really liking it because although I like Vegas, I am the kind of person that needs sleep and it's a little bit quieter. This hotel and this like resort has a vintage vibe. The rooms have the vintage Vegas vibe, but the amenities are super modern. And so it's really cool. I'm looking forward to going out to the pool.
Yeah.
You thrive in You thrive in environments where there are hot women, alcohol, pools.
Yeah.
This is Paul Gallant's weekend to shine.
Vegas pools are my heaven.
Yes. Yeah.
If I die, I hope that's what it is.
And he hasn't even been to Nashville yet. But we are really excited and we're thankful to the folks at Circa. We're going to try some of the food. And make sure you follow us on social media because we're going to be telling you all throughout the show and really all throughout the weekend how you can capitalize on an awesome, awesome opportunity out here. All right, the Astros capitalized last night, beating the Rangers and taking the Silver Boot Series.
Hell yeah.
With a 7-3 win. Valdez was lights out, 7 shutouts inning, only allowed 4 hits, 8 strikeouts. He threw 103 pitches, 74 strikes. This isn't shocking. This is his 19th straight quality start.
Martin Maldonado said after the game that he thinks that Valdez is a $200 million pitcher. And I don't know if I'd quite go that far, but the guy is appearing to be developing a little more consistency, which when we get to the postseason, that's going to be the biggest question about him. It was, you know, the reason that they didn't win the World Series last year. You know, he wasn't the same level that he was against the Red Sox in those World Series. So, you wonder, and we'll see what happens. But that was a nice start by him. And, it's nice to take away the silver boot. Not that Texas
I mean, it's not the most competitive thing,
right.
But I want to ask you about your mistress.
Oh,
the Astros now lead the AL West by 11 games over Seattle. How are we feeling?
They have been playing really well of late. But I don't think 1995, for those who don't know, the Mariners were down big in the AL West in 1995. They eventually caught the then California Angels to ultimately win the AL West. And if you've watched the Derek Jeter documentary, they beat the Yankees in the playoffs in that one. Jeter was on the bench the whole time, yet they made a whole episode about that, which is ridiculous.
I've never wanted to see a documentary less, by the way.
Yeah.
No desire.
There are some good parts, but once they got to the part where the Yankees blew the 3-0 series,
yeah, like, congrats,
against the Red
you have
Sox.
A hot wife.
Yeah.
Dusty Baker last night caused a little bit of discussion, is what we'll say, with his pregame press conference. Now, we were on the air when this happened, but this, I think, Paul, we could agree was a bigger story than the actual game. Trey Mancini not playing, not being in the lineup. Dusty Baker's decisions in general have come under play. So let's play this bite of Dusty Baker on his plans to play the newly acquired Trey Mancini.
Well, it depends on who's pitching for us. If I got Framber pitching, then, you know, I need you. He's Golden Glove. There's only one Golden Glove. You know what I mean? And if I got a fly ball pitcher, you know, he only played 13 games in the outfield in Baltimore before he got here. You know what I mean? And so I got to play my best fly ball guy out there. And he played right field in Baltimore because it's a short porch, so I got to play him more here in left field. But what do I do with Yordan, who wants to play outfield, huh? And McCormick and Myers, who I'm trying to get going. You know what I'm saying?
I know you like him. He seems like an affable fellow, Dusty Baker. But that entire clip, I'm just like, what? Does every single pitcher need a butler? Because essentially that's what he's saying. Well, yeah, you know, with Framber Valdez, I need Yuli out there. Because, you know, specifically for Framber Valdez, I need to have a first baseman. That's the randomest thing ever. If I got a fly ball pitcher, I need to make sure that Mauricio Dubon is in the outfield. There's a lot of just weird rationales for putting guys in the lineup. And
it's not the reason I would, not that there is a logical reason, but wouldn't you argue that it's almost the opposite? Like, Trey Mancini's been so good that, and he's been good behind several pitchers. He's been good offensively. We don't know 100% what he can do defensively, but when he was with the Orioles, it was pretty damn good.
100%.
So I would almost argue that I don't know that it matters who's pitching with somebody like Trey Mancini. His style of play isn't that specific.
So he made another comment, Vanessa, during this press conference.
Yes, we don't have the bite.
It was about the OPS.
Right.
And he basically said, yeah, you don't just put, like, your best OPS out there. And I paused for a second. I was like, well, listen, I mean, I played MVP baseball 2005.
Humble brag.
And that's what I would have done, although I would have looked at batting averages, and I still do because I'm married to old school stats because even though I am, like, barely a baseball fan, I'm still old school with the way that I break it down.
But look, not Dusty Baker old school.
Yeah. Well, look, you got to put the best bats in. I'm just hoping in the playoffs that that's the logic that they have. I don't believe in the idea that you should prioritize defense so much that you are just keeping random good bats on the bench, especially when I want to have a chance of bringing Mancini back this next year. I want to say
I'm
the
so
same
glad
thing
you
with
brought
Mr.
that
Vasquez.
Up. I'm so glad you brought that up because he's not going to stay somewhere if he's not playing. I mean, logic would tell you that, right? I mean,
yeah.
And he is a free agent. I think Astros fans want to see what he can do on all areas of the field. But Dusty Baker's lineup decisions, Paul, have always been a hot topic.
Yep.
We're talking even back to the, like, national days. Yesterday, he talked about his decisions and what he prioritizes with his lineup.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear more.
I'm trying to put guys where they'll most likely succeed and try to get the guys that were here to try to get them going, too, because the guys that are here are the reason that we are where we are.
You know, I like it when I put guys in the best place to succeed. It's called home plate because that's where you stand with a baseball bat and you try to hit the baseball. You know, it's a novel concept. I understand. Not everyone can grasp it the same way me, the smartest baseball mind in America, can.
Mm-hmm.
But with the guy on the field, and let him hit.
I think when you look at the fact that his first three starts, he had home runs. You look at what he did in Baltimore defensively. I think Astros fans just want to see what he can do. You have to remember, as everybody in Houston knows, this is a team that has been to the World Series twice since mm-hmm. they won it in 2017. What's the missing piece? Is it having that other pitcher back in Lance McCullers Jr.? Is it having somebody else that can you know, when the Nationals were up a couple years ago, can hit a big, you know, a big grand slam like Mancini did. I don't know, but let's just see what that missing piece is. And is it maybe one of the best hitters currently in the game? Yeah, I'd say maybe it is.
You know the missing piece, Vanessa. The missing piece is 2021 Yuli Gurriel, who stopped drinking the soda and stopped eating the pizza.
God bless it.
Someone on the Twitch brought up, this is Todd the Show, y'all really believed Mancini was going to start every day. That's on y'all. Yuli has not been good this year.
Also, it's not starting every day. There were like 3 days Mancini didn't start.
Exactly.
So I actually would argue that people wouldn't flip out if it were just one day.
Because Dusty's weird with the giving guys random
sure.
rest days. And you know what? I don't even mind that much. But when it comes to this, if you are a championship organization, you have to make tough decisions at some point. I mean, how did the Patriots stay as good as they did for such a long time? They made unpopular decisions routinely. It did help to have Tom Brady, no doubt. It did help to maybe cheat, no doubt.
Oh,
but
yeah.
At the
oh,
end of the
one.
Day, you had to move on from certain guys. Dusty Baker's never won a championship. And, I mean, these are the kind of things where you're showing loyalty to a guy. I understand loyalty. Loyalty to a fault in sports is not the way to go. It isn't. It'll end up getting you killed. It'll get you done in. And I think now it's the regular season, and I don't want to act like I'm freaking out. I'm just saying you have a guy in Yuli Gurriel who has been bad this season, who had a nice little stretch. We move him up to the two spot, but then he continues to struggle. And you have a guy, Mancini, who's better than him. He should be playing more than Yuli. And these weird, bizarre, long explanations that Dusty is giving me. Is he trolling me? Is he just
he is specifically trolling you, Paul Gallant. We'll see what happens come playoff time. I have a feeling that Mancini may be in that lineup more. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, live from Vegas, our preseason hot takes. Who's winning the Super Bowl? Oh, we're going to tell you. That's a lock. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We are coming to you live from Circa Sportsbook and Casino, or Casina, as I said last night for some reason on the way in. I don't know if I tried to make it Spanish, but I was telling our taxi driver, hey, we're going to the Circa Casina.
You added an accent, too?
I did. Not intentionally.
Terre Haute, Vanessa.
Terre Haute,
came out.
Yes. My Indiana came
I
out.
I had a Chardonnay on the plane, and I decided to start talking like this.
I actually had a vodka soda.
Oh, okay.
Nice. But we are rolling along on a Friday, and we're super grateful to be here. Circa is showing us so much hospitality. We're going to hit the pool later. We're going to place some NFL bets. You should definitely do the same. So we'll be talking about that throughout the day, of course. We're also talking about the NFL preseason, and, man, it is a good time to overreact. Before we get to the actual overreactions, Malik Willis looked good. Just in general, a couple of storylines. I think that was one of the biggest ones.
Malik Willis was fun to watch last night with the Titans. And look, you can't make any judgments based off of preseason football. We've seen guys like Mitchell Trubisky look really good in the preseason. Hell, we've seen guys like Brock Osweiler look really good in the preseason. But he's got a little electricity to him. Mike Vrabel pulled him from the game in the second half because he didn't slide at one point, or he basically was trying to extend plays, and he was getting the hell beaten out of him in this game. So not something that ideally you want, but okay, if you're Ryan Tannehill, I definitely think you're not necessarily on alert, but you got to make sure that you play your best because the fans will 100% be calling for him after a performance like that whenever Tannehill struggles.
We are not a Ryan Tannehill-loving show, and I think when you look at the state of the AFC South, he may be able to retain that starting position at certain points in the season if he's not, even if he's not good, because he's probably going to be defeating some of those division opponents. But I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. I think he's past his prime. Safe to say you feel the same. And Malik Willis, just the preseason, we know. But it was exciting to see. Let's go to Patriot land. You hear the open of our show where Paul Gallant says, and I quote, Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
He is.
Matt Patricia and Joe Judge called plays in the Pats preseason game. I viewed this as 100% an audition process.
Yeah. Honestly, Don't you feel like more teams should do this? If you have questions about your coaching, give two guys the opportunity to call plays in a game, and you figure it out from there. Look, the Patriot situation is not a good one to be in. This is not where you want to find yourself. Ideally, you would like to know who your offensive coordinator is, who your play caller is going into the season. That said, I love the idea that not just in the preseason are we seeing players fighting for four roster spots, that we're seeing two coaches try to out-duel one another.
Right.
Because generally, you just get the job, and that's it.
Well, here's the thing. I'm anti-question Bill Belichick, and that is what the kids call a trauma response from everything that I went through growing up and how dominant Bill Belichick is. Obviously, the Patriots haven't been what they were since Tom Brady left. But to your point, I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, which you literally are,
yes,
you want this, right? Like, you want the options. You want to see what each guy can do. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I want to not suck.
But Bill's response after was so funny, which was basically him just looking at reporters saying, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
he was very Bill Belichickian about it.
We're just preparing for the regular season.
You do a good impression.
We're just doing, you know, we're on to Seattle.
Not a good night for the Giants. I want good things for the Giants because I like their GM, Joe Shane. Shout out to all the Indiana kids making it on the front office level. But, man, Daniel Jones looked rough.
Yeah, he's not good.
There's your analysis for the day.
I mean, it's that simple, and I feel bad for young quarterbacks that get put in spots that are not their fault. The Giants have been, you know, we make fun of the Jets all the time. The Giants, considering the prestige that they have with them because of the great years with Bill Parcells and because of the two Eli Super Bowls, they don't get as much flack as they should. But they've been horribly run for a while. And Daniel Jones should not have been an early draft pick.
And it started out like right after the Super Bowl, if you remember. It's not like they kind of had a slow decline. They had a pretty quick decline.
I mean, the last decade, I think that they are statistically the worst team in the NFL. They made some underwhelming hires at head coach. Jones got put into a bad spot, and, I mean, maybe would he be better elsewhere? I don't know. I mean, there are some moments where you see him and you're like, okay, well, I mean, he can run, and his deep ball accuracy is randomly good, but he turns the football over a lot, and you're being thrown right into the mix of things and with a bad team, and it's hard to develop that way.
He got hit hard three times last night in a preseason game. So I do question some of the decision-making to your point. Like, I know that you have to balance developing a quarterback, but you also have to put them in situations where they're going to be safe. And that's something that I think we should watch with Davis Mills this weekend, by the way, as well. The ref show is back.
Yeah.
We love him and we hate him. Actually, we don't love him.
So this is interesting, Vanessa, because I did see something yesterday that made me excited. It seems like they're going to be a little bit more laxed when it comes to enforcing roughing the passer penalties. But on the other side of things, and it's the preseason, so of course you're hoping that this gets better. You know, the thing we talked about last week where the 5-yard contact rule seems like it's going to be more enforced, and this awful moment where I believe this was Patriots Giants, where their defensive back gets up, makes an incompletion motion.
I think Mina Kimes tweeted about this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they call it a personal foul on him for unsportsmanlike conduct. And, like, this is the thing with the NFL. These bougie cake-eating owners in their ivory tower think it's so, like, despicable to see some of these guys celebrate after a play. And they think it's taunting. Taunting's good. Taunting is entertaining. I don't understand this idea of, in a sport where there are people running 100 miles per hour at each other that are like 300 pounds trying to kill each other, we have this idea that the game should be noble in some way. It's the most barbaric thing that we do in the United States.
It literally is derived from gladiators and when people used to watch each other kill each other. Right. Preseason hot takes. I want yours. I'm going to give mine first. Number one, Ravens win the AFC North over the Browns, Steelers, and Bengals. I've said before, I like the Ravens. I think they were super injured last year. I think Lamar's going to put a kind of chip, have a chip on his shoulder, per se. But that's my first preseason hot take.
Will you go a step further?
Will I put my money where my mouth is?
Will you pick the Ravens to win Super Bowl 57?
I will not do that.
Plus 1925 per our friends at BUSR.com/ESPN.
Well, there you go. I don't know if I'll do that yet, Maybe, but they did hit their hot streak again. 21 preseason games in a row, won most ever in the NFL. Second hot take, Malik Willis, quarterback one by midseason.
By midseason.
Not a Ryan Tannehill believer. Now, again, this may not happen because Ryan Tannehill, if he goes out and can beat the Colts, the Titans usually beat the Colts
right. One
time. They can beat the Texans twice. That may give him a little bit, and they don't have. I don't think they have like a really hard schedule. Third.
They do play the Texans twice.
Yeah, third preseason overreaction. Patriots not getting past the first round of the playoffs.
You know what? I'll take. if they can get in, I'll take it.
The AFC, man.
Okay. All right. So those are three strong ones.
What are yours?
I think. Well, I have a hypothetical.
Oh.
Just thinking about it the way you're talking about with Malik Willis as the starting quarterback of the Titans by midseason. Is there a world where the Texans are, like, in second place in the AFC South by the end of the
totally.
Year?
Totally. I'm on board.
I was listening to, I want to say it was Mina Kimes, Greg Rosenthal, the Around the NFL podcast, and they were just talking about how the Texans have a pretty old roster. And I was like, they could win six games, seven games, or something like that. And in this division, that could perhaps get you a little bit higher up.
Here's the thing. The Colts are always unpredictable. And we don't know what Matt Ryan's going to look like. So
yeah.
I would love to. I mean, I think they're the favorite. But, yeah, I think there's definitely a world where the Texans could finish second.
I've been thinking about a couple of different things, Vanessa, for my hot takes. And I was marinating on this last night. And you know, what you said with the Ravens winning the AFC North, I'm going to go further. I think the Ravens win the Super Bowl this year.
Wow!
I think this is the year that they figure it out.
Hot take, Paul.
I mean, so the Bills, I know everyone loves them right now, and they definitely are talented, but you can't tell me November was a fluke. Like, they were getting their asses kicked by Indy. They were getting their butts kicked by New England. Like, they don't stop the run very well, and, I mean, what does Baltimore do great? Baltimore's a great running football team, and assuming they just don't have the worst injury luck ever this coming season, I feel like it's a Baltimore year, which I don't like because, honestly, of all the teams that I dislike in the NFL, the Ravens are definitely up there.
Which
I
is
like
funny because you think
though.
I would dislike the Baltimore Ravens more than you, but I actually kind of like the vibe
of
the city.
Because you stole their team.
Robert Irsay stole their team.
Sure, it was you.
I am not the angry man. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to go around the NFL, some of the biggest stories. But first, let me tell you about my friends at BUSR here in Vegas. Full season NFL, full swing. Let's do it. Baseball, Astros, everything's hot right now. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN. Double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? The Texans, by the way, over-under, set at 4.5 games right now. Do you think they're going to win more? Maybe you're a hater. You think they're going to lose every game. That could happen. How about this? You can still get the Astros at plus 400. So all you have to do is go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. Place your bet. Maybe you're more of a roulette guy. Maybe you're a blackjack girl. The good news, you can do it all at BUSR.com/ESPN.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
Bap, 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 bap. You know, it's a great song.
Wow, just in time.
Were you running?
I'm not going to lie. I had to go to the bathroom. We are live in Las Vegas. I'm just going to be honest. We are live in Las Vegas at the Circa Casino, and it is 10:30, and that means it is our NFL countdown segment, 27 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. Yeah, I know. I don't have it like I used to. Paul, why don't you tell us the jersey number?
Eddie George, who you might remember for a brief stint with the Houston Oilers, but more famously with the Tennessee Titans for the longest time, actually was my favorite player. Did you know that there was a world where I actually didn't hate the Tennessee Titans for
when
a couple
was
of
this?
Years? This was like the late 90s. I thought their uniforms were cool.
Oh, God.
I liked Steve
McNair.
Oh,
I guess in the 90s they weren't as
when
bad.
When they first got that new look, I liked it. But then I moved here and I was like, I found out what they did. You know, sort of like what your Colts did to Baltimore.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it happens like that. So
it do be like that sometimes. that's a good one. So let's go through some of the biggest stories in the NFL as we count down 27 days until the NFL season. By the way, if you're in Vegas, come where we are, Circa Sports and Casino. They have the largest sports book in Las Vegas. This place is incredible. That's where we are right now. The food's awesome. You have every TV imaginable here. I see Kyle Brandt's face very large. Our friend Robert Flores' face is very large right now on these big TVs. So come here if you want to place some future bets and whatnot. Watson and his camp, Deshaun Watson and his camp, floated the notion of an 8-game suspension and $5 million fine. So this still blows my mind as we wait to hear Roger Goodell and his cronies' decision on what the final punishment will be. Blows my mind that they let Deshaun Watson bargain his own punishment in the first place.
I don't think they are, but I still think Watson believes he has the ability to do it, and now all of a sudden I think he realizes the walls of the trash compactor are closing in. But
love that analogy.
There's no C-3PO to come save him, or technically it was R2-D2 anyway. The real ones know what that reference is from. But it's pretty funny. I mean, it's different because there's no one that died, but like imagine you did the worst thing possible 26 times, and you're like, hey, they come to you and you're like, yeah, we're going to put you down. And he's like, actually, I'll accept 8 years in jail. You know,
right.
I think that's fair. I don't really want to go any further. Respect the balls, but I mean, he's done. He's screwed. They're trying right now to finagle anything, but I think it's got to be more than a full season now. You know what?
Really?
You know, yeah, with all this stuff that keeps leaking out, can they be reactive and just say, no, piss off, dude. Go bleep yourself. Like, the NFL should do that with a lot of the deplorable characters that have been in the league. That's been my logic before. People used to get mad. Like, everyone deserves a second chance. Yes, to not play football, though. How about that?
It's a good point.
You know, and how about instead of, like, saying, like, yeah, let's give the guy a second and a third chance, how about we say bleep off? Like, go bleep
Watson
yourself.
Watson said no, by the way, to the 12-game suspension, I believe, earlier this year. And I think it was 12 years, $10 million is what Mike Florio said. So it would be interesting to see it be 8 games. This is bigger than Deshaun Watson. In a perfect world, it would be case by case, but the NFL has mishandled so many incidents involving women. We know what the front office in the NFL has done. They've gone through sensitivity training. They've done press conferences. There have been a lot of awkward moments in the last 15 years for how NFL players treat women. So whether you agree with Deshaun Watson, you think he's totally innocent, whatever, the bottom line is that they are going to make an example out of him.
Imagine agreeing with Deshaun Watson.
There are people that are doing it every day online.
Mostly in Cleveland.
Speaking of Cleveland.
The world is racist.
True. Oh, whoa.
That is part of it. It's an unfortunate part.
Yeah,
but
race, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, though, because multiple things can be true at one time.
True.
So while we may think Deshaun Watson did or didn't do something, he has been criticized more than white owners that have gotten in similar situations, whether it's Robert Kraft, it's nuanced, it's complicated, but I do think you're going to see a one-year suspension. That's my prediction, just because he said no to the 12-game suspension, and sometimes, as we know in Vegas, when you bet, you lose.
Verbal meme, Kylo Ren, more. I want more than.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, we'll see. I didn't know that was Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
Star Trek?
Adam Driver. No, Star Wars.
Okay.
Do you like Adam Driver?
I actually think Adam Driver went to the same college as me, University of Indianapolis, for a year or so.
Not an answer. Is Adam Driver your type?
No.
Okay.
Oh, wait. He's tall, right? He's tall with dark hair?
Yes.
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 Yeah, tall with dark hair actually is my type.
I, you know what? I love that. Is he tall?
Yeah.
He could have been hit in the face with a shovel.
Just
it's
admit
fine.
That you're shallow. I'm shallow. Jimmy G is a lot of people's types,
ooh,
including maybe the Cleveland Browns.
Oh,
they are entertaining the idea of bringing Jimmy G in. Should Deshaun Watson's suspension be longer than 6 games? This is per all the big dogs.
They
like
should
rap.
Do it. They should do it. And I mean, look, the one benefit of that contract they gave Deshaun Watson, where he's going to be able to circumvent perhaps a little bit of the salary that would be lost being suspended a full year, is that you have extra cap space to bring in a quarterback that's making, you know, in the high eight, well, not the high, but like, you know, towards $20 million plus a year. You should bring him in. I mean, people like him in San Francisco a lot. They've all said he's a great presence. I think he gets it, that it's not a long-term thing for him, but it's an opportunity to potentially get a starting gig elsewhere. He's probably about to go through a Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of late stage of his career where he's going from team to team.
He wins.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is that the guy wins.
He does.
I know that he stops playing when he just has a little injury. I know that you could say, well, maybe it was so-and-so's offense. That the bottom line is that he has a history of winning, and the Browns want to win in the short term without Deshaun Watson because that they have a win-now roster. Kyle Allen has COVID. We're going to be seeing a lot of Jeff Driskel tomorrow.
Ooh. Well, based off of training camp, Vanessa, I'm not exactly excited about that. But luckily, we'll be watching that hopefully from the Circa pool. And maybe with a little libation, it will be a more enjoyable experience seeing Jeff Driskel out there. Look, tomorrow's all about Damian Pierce, the young rookie running back that the Texans brought in from Florida. And I think it's about Jalen Petrie, too, because we know Derek Stingley Jr. isn't going to play in this game either. Lovie Smith said that yesterday.
Carson Wentz has had kind of an up-and-down training
camp.
Is he
your type?
Carson Wentz is not my type in any way, shape, or form.
He's tall.
I will say that. He's tall.
You felt like that compliment was like pulling teeth out.
It's really, really hard for me to compliment him. But Ron Rivera is going to bat for his guy. Quote, the narratives are all unfair. I mean, obviously he left each place for reasons. Okay, great. That's their reasons. He's here for our reason. He's here because we want him here, blah, blah, blah. Ron Rivera, love you. You're inspirational. You survived cancer. My friends that have covered you say you're an angel. But here's the long and the short of it. The quote-unquote reasons is because he lost to the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jags and because he wasn't a good leader. And then Philly is its own set of issues. What do you see? I think he sees a quarterback that was placed in his care and that he has to stick up for.
Man, sounds like he's getting cancer again with the way that you're describing it. Bringing Carson Wentz in, it's going to be that bad. It is funny that he's getting another opportunity. Everyone's basically like, yeah, he's not the guy. He's the worst. He's not trustworthy. But let's give him a shot and see what happens because he was almost MVP in 2017.
It's the last chance for him, right? I mean, God,
yes.
I hope so.
Well,
here's the thing.
So.
Not a bad guy. Actually, I've heard he's very nice. But I never want to see Carson Wentz starting in the league again.
He's not accountable. That's the problem. Like,
right.
Quarterbacks that don't like put it on themselves when they struggle and are kind of like, yep, well, all right. Well, that's not what you want.
Correct. I agree. He's not the psychopath and the obsessor that I want in a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. That's your type.
That's my type. The Jets signed one Dwayne Brown.
Dwayne Brown has a job, yeah. Interesting offseason for Dwayne Brown. That's what happens when Mekhi Becton gets hurt. Hopefully, you know, when he goes to New York, he will be a little bit smarter about the gun that he accidentally had in his suitcase.
Oh, that was bad.
Because that's like how you end up in jail, like Plaxico Burress did. Remember when the Plaxico Burress went to jail for having like gun in his sweatpants?
Not good.
And it fired off in a strip club.
Yeah, not
like
good.
It'd be comfy.
Be careful with your guns.
Yes, be careful.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what's the funniest sports take you've ever seen? Because I think we may have a new winner.
Oh, man.
That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from Circa Casino and Resort in Las Vegas for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're going to get to a hilarious tweet, and we want to know your weirdest sports takes, plus which athlete would you like to see become a general manager. But first, we go to our girl Vera, who would like to talk about the Deshaun Watson situation.
Hello. I wanted to weigh in on the longtime listener and lurker, so I do appreciate you guys. I've been listening to your program on Twitch every day, so I do really appreciate
you.
You guys bring on the channel and as a ESPN family. On the whole Watson thing, it's so funny to remember that NFL suspended Josh Gordon for years on end because he had smoked pot. So this is far more egregious and, in Goodell's own words, far more predatory, because this wasn't a one-off case. This was like 20-plus cases. So I'll just hang up and listen, but I want to thank you guys for taking this call.
appreciate it.
Yeah,
Vera.
We appreciate that, Vera. Look, nothing's apples and oranges, but it's something that I've brought up. You've heard me say Calvin Ridley, a year for gambling. I mean, it is worth noting what other people are punished for.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to our guy, Vera, who came out to our party at St. Arnold's a couple of months ago. And I feel the things that he outlined are super important. If the NFL is going to suspend someone like Josh Gordon as much as they have, you have to do something where you're going to just absolutely bring the axe out and chop the guy's head off. And
Not literally.
1 year, yeah, that's true. Not literally. That's like medieval. 1 year isn't enough, right? And if you say, as Goodell did, that it's four different violations of the personal conduct policy, and let's do a little multiplication here. Sue Robinson offers a 6-game suspension for it, mainly due to lack of evidence, not due to lack of thinking Deshaun Watson did something awful. Multiply it by four, that gets you to 24. I think a 2-season ban would be interesting because, you know, there have been some people that have said, and I've heard this publicly and it's actually made me mad, that Watson already served a 1-game suspension.
Nope,
no, the Texans,
not a thing.
The Texans pampered him. They let him sit off to the side.
Yeah, not a thing. Regardless of how you feel about Deshaun Watson, that 1 year was self-inflicted because he didn't want to play. And the Texans, I think, took inventory from the situation and saw that it was best practice to allow him not to play. But that does not count as, quote-unquote, time served. Antonio Brown tweeted out something that when I first saw it, I didn't think that it was real.
I thought it was from Ballsack Sports.
I thought it had to be New York Porch Sports or something like that.
Yeah, one of those
now, fake
I websites.
Should say, I don't know that he said this, but it's a quote, and he tweeted it out and said, sincerely, AB. So, here it is. Are you ready for this ride,
Paul
Gallant?
Give it to me. Because Antonio Brown, known poet, singing songs like, I got a whole lot of money, whole lot of money. Whole lot of money. Wait, it's not done. Whole lot of money.
Quote, my biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM a cracker or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or throwing rocks at that UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jet Stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces.
Doesn't even have the
my biggest regret
allegations.
Is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for y'all to see something like that, like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
He compared himself to the Beatles
and Jesus Christ
and listed all of the wild things he did and said that those aren't his biggest regrets. His biggest regret is that he can't have an out-of-body experience to watch himself.
Now, far be it from me to defend Antonio Brown.
Oh, God.
Brown is one of the best wide receivers I've ever seen play. I feel like I got the late stages of Jerry Rice, so I didn't get to see Jerry Rice in his prime. But Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and then after that, who are you putting into that conversation of best wide receivers you've seen? He's up there. I mean, phenomenal route running. Always making big-time plays in big-time moments with the Bucs, with the Steelers, and definitely a just absolute pain in the ass and a terrible teammate, but I can understand him thinking that he would like to watch himself play. The problem is, like, I'm trying to figure out if he's trolling us here, because someone definitely posted that. He didn't write that.
No, he didn't write it. Somebody else wrote it, and then he screenshotted it. To his credit, thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But might have actually been serious about it. I don't know.
You know, what would Jesus have been like at Red Rock, you know?
He would be passing out bread and fish.
Listen.
Turning water into wine.
I mean,
maybe like Chris Angel style.
That's the greatest party trick of all time.
Yeah.
No, Jesus would have sent us. Come on.
Jesus would have been great.
Yeah.
I thought that this was an interesting comment from Von Miller. I've always said Von Miller has one of the most interesting careers to me because he's with the Bills now, obviously.
Yep.
But Von Miller managed to play with the Broncos, the Rams, and obviously won a Super Bowl both places, and now he's with the Super Bowl favorite. He's managed to also get large contracts and work with great quarterbacks. We talk a lot on the show and in sports in general about how guys usually have to choose at some point. Do you want the most money? Do you want to go to a winning team and chase a ring because you don't have one? Do you care more about the city that you're in for whatever reason? Von Miller's had a really unique career because he's like always been in good situations, and I credit his agent and a little bit of luck for that. Here's what Von Miller said about what he wants to do post-playing career.
I'm a fan of football in general, you know, and I'm a fan of players. I'm a fan of schemes. Eventually I want to be a GM. You know, one day that's like my goal, to be a GM. And, you know, I saw what the Bills had been doing for a long time. You know, I saw the team that they were building. I saw that they had a lot of big-time players, and they were just right on the edge. So when my agent started talking to me about the Bills being interested, you know, it kind of caught my attention.
I would love to see him as a GM.
I'm curious as to how that would work, and honestly, I think a player of his stature says that. I don't think they actually mean it.
You don't think they know the nuances and everything that goes along with being a GM? Or?
I feel like if you're that good, I think it's, one, difficult to evaluate players from a perspective of, like, you might see some things that you like in a guy, but if he's not wired the same way as you, how many players are wired the same way as Von Miller was? I mean, that's one of the best defensive players that we've seen in the last 20 years or so. So I think that's a hard part of it. And the other part is, too, GMs don't get paid at all. It's a tough
job.
But
if you've made as much money as he has, do you need to?
I guess you would have to be – I think you would have to be exceptionally passionate about it. And I feel like if you're a player of Von Miller's stature, who potentially could be the second player in NFL history to win three Super Bowls with
Who's
three different teams. Guess.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay, guess what? Here's what's funny. He also was a general manager, but he was a terrible general manager. And he played
– Former player.
He played for, back in the day, the Raiders. That's one hint. And when he was general manager, here's another hint, his team had a lot of early draft picks, and they kept drafting wide receivers. And it was kind of funny.
I don't know.
Early 2000s. Their colors are silver and blue. The answer is Matt Millen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get it, so
okay.
You might as well just say it.
Sorry. You know, the other fun fact about Matt Millen, punched the owner, son of the New England Patriots after a game back in the 1970s.
That's bold. What teams did he win the Super Bowl with? Like, what were the three different teams?
Two with Oakland, one with San Francisco, one with Washington.
And this is as a player?
This as a player, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
So Von Miller would be the second person to have that happen. Which player? Okay, so here's why I think that Von Miller.
And he went 0-16 also
would
as a GM.
GM, it, like, all the GMs now are like mega nerds. Like, it's math, it's analytics, it's all of that. It's not about your gut feeling about a player anymore for the most part. I think any former player would struggle with that.
Yeah, I think
And I think it's why you have guys that are coming up through scouting and all of that. Do you have a former player that you would like to maybe see try front office deals?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. I mean, is John Lynch good? Do we think John Lynch is a good general manager? I think that you want to have a giant nerd.
100%.
You also want to have somebody.
Lots of vests.
But the thing is, like, I it's hard for me to think of, as you just said, a guy that's not, like, wearing a vest and coming up to the podium with a bunch of
formulas.
I can't
see it because that's all we have now.
Yeah. Because you got to, I mean, the tricky thing with this, it's roster evaluation is important, but more important might be the ability to manage a cap. And, I mean, we saw, like, how much Bill O'Brien struggled with every single element of that. And he thought that he knew what he was doing.
He definitely thought. But he was doing three jobs at that time. Coaching, offensive play caller, and then GM.
It's unfair for me to say, like, hey, a player can't be a general manager. I just think it's a massive, massive degree of difficulty that you're going to have to overcome. And, I mean, you're going to have some sort of, I think, background financially in addition to, you know, having a good idea of what to look for as a scout. And that's an acquired skill that I think coaches are better at than a player. At least they have less of a hill to climb up.
I'd like to see him do something in a front office. Obviously, he's an Aggie, right? I mean, I think he's really intelligent. I've never heard anybody say that they don't like covering him or playing with him, so I think it'd be cool to see him in one of those front office roles at some point.
Someone brought up Ryan Fitzpatrick as a general manager.
I want to see him more as a broadcaster.
Me too.
I'm interested to see him on those. He's on the Amazon broadcasts, right?
I think so. And see, that's the thing. Von Miller is the kind of personality that I feel like would do a lot better on TV, too. I mean, he's one of the best players of the generation. And, you know, at some point, some of the guys that we've seen on these, like, yuck, yuck, yuck pregame shows are going to move on. Like, wouldn't you rather be on one of those or yeah. color commentator. I feel like.
Yeah, work 16 days a year, maybe yeah. 32 if you count yeah. flying in and seminars.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if he wants to do it, fine. Right. I feel like he would have a lot more fun doing other things.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are live from Las Vegas. We're going to tell you about the Astros. Plus, what could the Cleveland Browns' plans be should Deshaun get suspended a long time? That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Warriors sound! Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.